for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Spring Camp Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, March the 25th, 2016. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service teaching on the grasshopper spirit.
Hey, I am looking for a people that will surrender to me. I have many in my body that are committed to me. But there are those who have not surrendered everything to me. In the days that are ahead, I am looking for a body that is fully surrendered to me. I'm looking for those that will know my voice, that will hear it, and they will understand the direction that I want them to go, even though it may be totally different from any direction that they think that they should go. But I say there will be many who will fall by the wayside because they have listened to their own direction or have listened to the direction of another instead of seeking me. I am the Lord your God and I will direct your path, but you must surrender to me. If you want my best for your life, you will surrender to receive my best for you, says the Lord. Do not be involved in the broad way that will lead to your destruction. But I say the path that I will set before thee is a narrow path. You must look straight ahead. Do not look to your right or to your left because there are many pitfalls that will befall you. But stay on that narrow path. Even though it may be a treacherous path, be sure that I am there in front of you leading you in the way that you should go. Do not look to the popular things because the things that are popular in this world are not popular with me because my word tells you. Don't love the world or the things that are in it. But I would say look on me and look to me and I will lead you in paths of righteousness. And where there seems to be no way, there will be a place that will open for you. Whenever your back is against the wall, I will move the wall. Whenever your eyes cannot see, then I will lead you. But the Lord says that you must follow Him closely. Follow Him closely. Do not look for the popular way out. Do not look for a way that seems good to you and a way that seems right. There are many good things in this world. There are many right things in this world. But they are not of me, says the Lord. Look to me. And it will be a path that you can follow. It will not be a path that will be difficult for you to follow because I will make it plain to you by my Spirit, says the Lord. And you may think that you cannot follow me, but I said, look to me and you shall follow me. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. I've got it, says the Lord. I've got you in my hand, in the palm of my hand. And there will nothing befall you but what I shall not know. There is nothing that's going to come your way but what we're not going to be able to go through together and conquer. But stay close to me. Stay close to me and follow after me. You may be seated.
And then, Jerry, you can come now and bring your word to us.
I appreciate Meryl. The mighty man of God.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Lord, we praise you. We thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Father, thank you that we have authority over all the power of the enemy, and we bind him. We bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you from this camp, from Meryl and Barbara and Patty and Kevin and Linda and Sandy and Dan and Crystal and the children. And we bind you from Linda in the name of Jesus, from Rick and every person in this camp right now. And we bind you from our children, every person who's listening in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We nullify, make void, cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual, exercised over us, over this camp, over our ministries, our homes, and the things that concern us, we cancel them now. Lord, we pray a special covering of warrior angels over the saints all over this earth to boomerang back on the enemy every curse assignment that's sent against us. not to kill them, hurt them, harm them, but so they'll fear God and turn away from evil. Can't you see a curse coming back and it kind of exploding in their face? And, oh, yeah. I see it kind of backfire. Well, this morning I want to teach on, it's really, I didn't want to teach it, okay? I wanted to crawl back in bed. And basically there's some murmuring and complaining in this message, and yesterday David and I had a flat on the way. And I griped the whole time. Even kind of jumped on the guy that was an hour and a half or 2 hours late fixing the flat. And then I had to go and say, would you please forgive me? I'm so sorry. And, you know, it's always good to apologize right then. Anyway, I want to teach this morning, or the Holy Spirit's going to teach, on a grasshopper spirit. A grasshopper spirit is a person that don't know who they are in Christ. They live in fear. They confess what they see instead of what God's Word says. You know, there's a difference between fact and truth. It may be a fact you have cancer, but the truth is God says by the stripes of Jesus you're healed. And so we can state the fact, but we need to state what God's Word says, because that's the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life, the Bible says. No man can come to the Father except by Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to get this state. I'm going to get my grandson, and I say all caps, my grandson, my little preacher boy, praise the Lord. I'm going to get him to read, because today, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, but long passages are hard for me to read today. But tomorrow, I'll be able to read them.
Amen.
And so I'm going to get him to read for you. David? No, I want you to come up here where they're recording it.
Open the Numbers 13:25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, or troubling report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone up to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the son of Anak, which came out of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it no better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, or tore their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread to us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone
them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard of the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles and which I did in Egypt in the wilderness and have tempted me and now these 10 times and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it.
You notice this little finger? He's serious. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. You know, God had given them the land, which is the picture of a sanctified life. Jesus, when he died at Calvary, positionally, he sanctified us. And he tells us we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Is there anyone that does not have anything to overcome today? Am I the only one? We have to live an overcoming life. You're either living an overcoming life or you're overcome. And when you're overcoming, you're not overcome. Amen? And so God, this is a picture of a physical land the children of Israel had to possess. It wasn't blind optimism. God told the children of Israel to go take the land of Canaan, which means rest. Canaan means rest. And you know, we all have giants in our land, just like they had giants in their land. The giants in our land are anger and addictions and perversion and bitterness and unforgiveness and fear and infirmities and sicknesses and things that we have to overcome. Well, they had physical giants in their land. God said, the land is yours, take it. He tells us that he sanctified us in Christ Jesus, that we're to take the land. And so this is our land. We have things to possess on our land. Caleb and Joshua were the only two that entered. I think here it says Caleb, but other places I think it says Joshua and Caleb. They had a different spirit than the children of Israel. A person with a grasshopper spirit, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. They saw themselves as grasshoppers in the sight of the giants, and then they said the giants saw them as grasshoppers. And that's really a picture of a person that lives by what they see rather than what God's Word says. Confesses what they see instead of what God's Word says. God says that you're an overcomer in Christ Jesus. And so we all have things that we have to overcome. I'm overcoming, and you're overcoming, because that's who we are in Christ. God says that we will overcome. It says, He who's born of God overcomes the world, and the wicked one touches him not. And so if he's touching us in places, we have something to overcome. And so a person with a grasshopper spirit never enters God's rest. And you know, unrest is a curse. And when we live in a state of unrest all the time, we're under the curse. Deuteronomy says that that he'll give us a trembling heart, failing eyes, despair of soul, and no resting place for the sole of our feet. That's a curse. And of course, the reason it's a curse, because Jesus gives us the answer in Matthew 11 when he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." It's a picture of coming under control of the Holy Spirit and entering God's rest. And of course, every time you and I conquer a giant, we rest in that area. And so, if there's turmoil, you know, a person that has a grasshopper spirit sees their circumstances as bigger than they are, sees the devil really big and God really little. You know, the devil is like a speck of dust, even less than that compared to God, who is eternal, who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Commander-in-Chief of all the armies of heaven. And he says, "Fear not." And over 365 times, God says, "Fear not." And we're living in a world that is so horrendous. Just, you know, I haven't watched television in years, but I've been watching the news to keep up with the elections. And I'm telling you, it is so depressing. That's why I almost got sick, is cursing these politicians. I'm sorry, it's the truth. I cannot believe the stupidity of the news media. I cannot believe the stupidity of this world. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so God doesn't want us to curse the king or anyone else and speaking negative words. And it's depressing. If you want to be, I tell you, if you want to get disconcerted and depressed, just watch the news. Oh my goodness. I've got to quit it. Yeah, I turned the TV off. I know one man that shot his TV. That's probably what we need to do, right? I got to find my place here. I'm telling you, it's almost like, and thank God it wasn't controlled in my mind. Mind control. It can do that. But a person with a grasshopper spirit sees himself as worthless and little in the eyes of the circumstances of life. They don't know who they are in Christ. They want to give up and quit every time there's a problem. They want to run from the circumstances. And I want to say this. I believe a person with a grasshopper spirit, I believe the Lord showed me that while we were worshiping. It comes in through fear of man. And fear of man comes in when you're afraid of your mother and father, when you have controlling, raging, angry parents, or you're having to take care of yourself, and you fear, as little children, you have to take care of yourself. And so you fear man because things are bigger than a little kid. But if you grew up with angry, raging parents that you were afraid of, that opens you up to the fear of man, to where you're intimidated by people. And God doesn't want us to live in intimidation. He wants us to know who we are in Christ. They live in fear and timidity. And fear is the opposite of faith. And God says that we have to walk in love, but we also have to walk in faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And fear is the opposite of faith. They don't deal with unresolved issues of the heart. You know, what's so sad is most people don't even know to do that because they're sitting in churches and don't even mention to repent of your sin. What's so sad is most churches you go to today, you leave the same way you came. And, you know, I have a conviction that if you don't change when you leave church, you haven't met God. It's a waste of time. You can stay home and read the Bible and get more out of it. And of course, God wants us to fellowship. But it's the church is in a sad state to where they don't talk about repenting of your sin. They don't tell you that you, without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord, without purity. And so God wants us to enter his rest, and we do that by submitting to his lordship, by total surrender. When a person is born into a royal family, he receives all the benefits and provision of that family. And it's the same with us when we are born again. We are born into a royal family, and we receive all the blessings and privileges, inherited privileges of being a son of God, a child of God. Can you just imagine a person that King's kid living in poverty because he don't know who he is in Christ? He doesn't know what he's inherited. He's not appropriating or receiving his inheritance. It's kind of like, say, somebody deposits $1 million into your bank account and you don't write a check on it. It doesn't do you any good. You're a millionaire, but you never appropriate what God's done for you. And I'm not here to say I'm appropriating everything, but I'm sure working on it, okay? And so, in fact, about the time you think you got it all together, God shows you you don't have it all together. It's a little different. From when I first got saved, I thought I did God a favor. Now I'm wondering why he saved me. You know, when you're just so self-righteous, there's just so many things that God has to work out of your life. We're all a work in progress. We all have things to overcome. But we should be overcoming those things. And because Christ did it at Calvary, he said, you are more than a conqueror through him who loves, through me who loves you. In Revelation 16, it said he's made us kings and priests. And it said he's made us to become kings and priests unto God and Father. To him be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. And, you know, not seeing who we are in Christ, being a king's kid and never knowing the benefits or provisions of being a king's kid, this is the condition of most believers. They don't appropriate or even comprehend what God's done for them. And most people don't even know God loves them. And that comes in through not having a mom and dad that love you. You know, if your mom and dad loves you, then it doesn't really matter if anybody else loves you because you feel loved. You know you're loved. I'm thankful for that. When my husband divorced me from and left me with two little boys, my heart was broken because I'd look at the little boys and I'd think, they don't have a daddy. And it broke my heart. I never felt unloved through all of this. Even though he was rejecting me, I never felt unloved because I was loved growing up. And I'm sure that Meryl and some of you others will tell you that. But it's rare to find a person that even had a mom and dad that loves them. You know, I ministered to people for years and years and years thinking everybody had a mom and dad like me. And then I realized that very few, probably in the years I've been ministering since 1972, I probably could name over 15 people that had a mom and dad that loved them. Anyway, God loves you. He's greater than your parents. He's nothing like your mom and dad. He's there. He doesn't abandon you. He said he will never leave you as an orphan. He'll come to you, he said. And so when we don't fully comprehend who we are in Christ and what we received in our new birth, then other people will not see that we are King's kids, because we treat ourselves the way we were treated growing up. If we were rejected, we treat ourselves with rejection. We draw people to do the same thing to us, that however you treat yourself, other people are going to treat you the same way. And, you know, it would require so many pages and so many words to tell you all the benefits that God gave us when he allowed us to be born again, when he saved us. But I just want to name a few things. You are enriched by Christ Jesus in everything. 1 Corinthians 15:5 says, in everything you were enriched in him, in all spiritual, all speech and knowledge, you were enriched in him. It says, he calls us into fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful to whom you were called into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, many of you grew up without fellowship from your mother and father, without nurture, without fellowship, without companionship with your parents. Hey, God wants to meet that need. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You know, I've been a widow since 1997, and I have not had one lonely day in all those years because God is always there. I always sense God's presence. And, you know, I can say part of it, too, just one little part of it, is I grew up with my daddy who's always there. It's easy for me to believe God's always there because my daddy was always there. It's easy for me to believe that God will protect me because my daddy was a protector. And I'm not saying that to say, ha ha, I had a daddy that did that. But you know, had I not had that, you wouldn't have known the difference. But when we don't have a daddy that's there to nurture us, to love us, to care for us, then we don't think God cares either. If your daddy wasn't there, then you don't think God's there either. If you're angry at God, I can tell you it's because you're angry at your dad. Goes back to your childhood. So he calls us into fellowship so you don't ever have to be lonely. We're given the mind of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:16 that he's given us the mind of Christ. And Lord, we ask you to activate it in our life in Jesus' name. Sometimes when you get older and you don't remember something, you think, oh dear God, it's because I'm 80 years old. And then you talk to somebody that's 25 and they'll say, I couldn't remember that. You couldn't? Oh, good. Nothing's wrong with it. You don't think anything of it when you're young. You don't pay any attention to it. But you start getting suspicious when you get older. I told Carla the other day, I think my brain is connected to my eyes. She said, well, your whole body's connected to your brain. Duh. We're laborers together with Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says we're God's fellow workers. We're God's field and God's building. We're God's house. We're God's temple. This is the land that we have to possess. We have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? What does that do for your self-image? If Jesus Christ, it says in Colossians 1:28, Christ in you is the hope of glory. If Christ lives in me, the same Jesus that lived in Billy Graham lives in me, the same Jesus that lived in the Apostle Paul lives in you. You know, my Bible might be worth $15, but if I had a $1 million bill, if there was such a thing, and I put a $1 million bill in my Bible, it'd be worth $1 million and 15 million. And so basically my point is you're worth what you contain. You contain the king. If you've been born again, you contain the King of Kings. Many of you have prayed a prayer and you believe in Jesus with your head because the Bible says the demons and Satan believe in their head. Many of you believe in your head, but it's never got down into your heart to give you a born again experience. Many of you sitting out here, all of you are believers, but not all of you are born again. Because Jesus said that for you to follow him, you have to be willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. And that's why when you receive Jesus, if you're not willing to deny yourself and take up your cross, if you're not willing to let go of your sin, then you're not born again. And you know, you can't, if you say, well, I don't know if I've been born again or not, let me tell you, you haven't been, because when you're born again, you know that you know that you know, and nobody can talk you out of it. And you can't explain it. It's just something you can't explain. And those of you who've been born again, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you have not had a life-changing, life-transforming experience with the Lord Jesus Christ to where your heart's been transformed, and even after it's transformed, you're still a work in progress to leave this earth. And so so Christ dwells in us. So that should do something for our self-image, right? The King of Kings lives in us. And he said, greater works will you do because I go to the Father. He said, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. You don't have to be afraid of the demons. You don't have to be afraid of anything. For he says, fear not, and I will be with you, and I will strengthen you and hold you with my righteous right hand. And he tells us to fear not. And this world is fear-driven. Fear-driven. His Spirit dwells in us. We're members of Christ's body. Romans 12:5 says, so we who are many are one in the body of Christ, individually members of one another. We're joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. As children, heirs, and as heirs, joint heirs with God, so that if we suffer with him, we'll also be glorified together with him. Now, the suffering is dying into your flesh. If I want to, say, hold unforgiveness, for example, if I want to be unforgiving, then that's what my flesh wants, and I choose to forgive, which is a choice, it's not an emotion, my flesh suffers. So that's the suffering, and suffering with Christ is to suffer to deny yourself, because God wants you to overcome all this other stuff. His grace is sufficient. We have spiritual gifts for the good of all. 1 Corinthians 12:4-11 says, Now there are various gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varied varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And the varieties of effects. And of course, the gifts are words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of faith, miracles, healing, cures, tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts of prophecy, discerning of spirits. And I always pray what God, God gave Daniel extraordinary wisdom, knowledge, insight, dreams, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems. Just like he gave Daniel, I pray God gives that to me, to my children, to those I pray for. But it says, but God, who works all things in all persons, distributing to each individually just as he wills. And we need those gifts to minister. We always triumph in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, but thanks be to God who also causes us to triumph in Christ and manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. You know, there's an aroma of Christ. There's an aroma of death, it says in Corinthians. And so God wants us to manifest a sweet aroma. And those of you who minister to people, if a person has a body odor, you know, that's a religious spirit. Because it said the Pharisees, it says they were like open sepulchers. And so God wants us to be a sweet aroma and not have a body odor. So a body odor is a demonic thing. Demons stink. we are accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about people rejecting us. If God accepts us, if God's for us, who can be against us? Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestows on all those in his beloved. Bestows upon us his beloved. We're forgiven of sin through the blood of Christ. It says in him we have redemption through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. That's Ephesians 1:7. We are seated with him in the heavenly places. We don't have to live in the nasty now and now. Hey, that's a promise. He has raised you and I up to sit with him in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. Yes. Ephesians 2:6, he's raised us up to be seated with him. We've been given authority over Satan and his demons. I heard someone say the other day, well, you know, I don't know if we have any authority over principalities and powers. Hey, they're under Satan. We've been given authority over Satan, and everything under Satan is under our feet. In Luke chapter 9, it says, you know, when Jesus called the 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. You know, I've read that before, but I think I got it partially the other day. It's not just praying for the sick. He gives you the authority to cure the sick. You have authority over devils. That's easy for us, most of us, to believe that we have authority over the devil and his demons. But to have authority to cure sickness, that's a promise. And we need to start exercising it. And I've started exercising it, even though I don't understand all of it. It's God's decision to heal. And you know, I want to say this. If Jesus died on the cross for you and shed his blood that you might be healed of your sicknesses, your diseases, your griefs, your sadnesses, and your sorrows. If you're sick, like Carla said last night, receive healing. Well, if healing doesn't come, you need to start looking for the sin behind why it didn't come. The scripture says, if any among you are sick, let them call for the elders of the church and let them anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus will raise up and heal the sick. And if they've committed sins, they will be forgiven them. And we stop right there. It says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another, for the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So God wants us to confess our sin. That's a part of healing, not just saying, getting anointed with oil. But he wants us to confess our sin because it humbles us. We need to get humble because the humble get grace. Is that right? Okay, in Luke, he gives us authority over all devils and to cure diseases. In Luke 10:18, he says, and he said to them, I saw Satan like lightning falling from the heavens. Behold, disciples, I give you the power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means injure you. Now, the disciple is a person that doesn't just claim to be a believer. He's a person that lets God discipline him. In other words, God's discipline is to align you with his word. He's not mad at you necessarily unless you are willfully in rebellion, and then he will discipline you severely. But the discipline is to align you with the word of God. That's the discipline. It's to correct mistakes is what it's for. To correct the mistakes in your life. Not because he's mad, but because it's a part of the sanctification process. And as you do that, you'll overcome and you'll enter God's rest in every area that you have victory and you overcome. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That means that God, before you were even born, God knew exactly what he wanted you to do. The steps of a good man, righteous man, are ordered by the Lord. God's plans and purposes cannot be thwarted. You don't have to worry. You think, well, maybe I'm not where I need to be. Hey, if you're submitted, I told my son once, who's my pastor, David's daddy, I said, you know what? If you're on the potter's wheel, you can't miss God. If you're submitted to God, you cannot miss him. Because he is the potter, and he knows what he created you for, and he's going to finish the job. Praise the Lord. That gives me great encouragement. That God, you know, when God allowed your father's sperm to meet with your mother's egg, he knew exactly what he had for you. And so just stay submitted, and you won't miss him. We're reconciled to God, Ephesians 2:16. He might reconcile us both to God but through the cross, having put to death the enmity. In other words, whatever was standing between us and God. We are members of God's household. You feel like you don't have a family? Hey, the body of Christ is your family. Sometimes, you know, real family don't understand you. Praise God. But God says you are members of the body of Christ. And you know when you meet the body of Christ. You could be in Africa and run into someone that loves Jesus. And boy, there's your brother, there's your sister. Ephesians 2, you know, my sisters, you know, they love me, but they don't understand me. Now, if they want prayer, they call. But they don't really understand me. My little sister said, Jerry, you're a piece of work. That was after I told her that I got this thing from eHarmony.com once, and I'm not interested in getting married or am not interested in eHarmony.com, but I thought, you know, it'd be fun to take that test. You know, it was a free test. So I took that test, and that little thing spins around like a pinball machine in Las Vegas. It goes around like this. I'm sorry, but we can't find a match for you. And the reason they couldn't, because only God is the matchmaker. I'd be afraid I'd get a hold of Jack the Ripper. You just never know. You know, there's men and women that prey on people because they have money. Of course, I don't have money. That would be the reason. I have a dog kennel, and you can come scoop poop with me. But, have y'all noticed that it costs more to live nowadays than it did 4 years ago? Yeah. Almost triple. And that's a plan of the One World Order to break the economy of America. But praise God, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And it says, I was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread. That's a precious promise. Ephesians 3:17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. No, we're rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians 3:17 says, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, and you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled up into all the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. You're complete in him. You think, well, I feel kind of strung out. God said, positionally, you're complete in him. It says in Colossians, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. We're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Romans 8:37. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I've been convicted of saying some things that have bound me to the very things I say. I don't know about you last night, but I got a lot of deliverance last night. In fact, I was belching so loud, I was almost embarrassed. Especially she did the first two she did on the idolatry, and then she did the prayer in Nehemiah 1. I'd never prayed that prayer. I got deliverance just in that prayer. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All things. So when I say I can't do something, that's a lie. Some other things he said is that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be made sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. Were you trained up like me that you had to be strong? The Lord helped those that help themselves. That's how I was trained up. God says he helps you. When you're weak, you're strong. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. Do you feel weak? I do. He's a refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Our enemy's not real people, but it's principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wicked spirits in heavenly places. It's the devil working in people. Amen. And the battle's already been won. The Bible says Jesus Christ spoiled principalities and powers, making an open show of them, triumphing over them at the cross. And you don't have to fear the devil or fear man. Fear man brings a snare. Fear will destroy you. My precious friend that I lost in June, for years and years, I've been telling her, you've got to overcome fear. She wouldn't face her fear. She would sweep it under the rug. And that's, you know, if you're a person that stuffs things because of fear, it's going to end up producing sickness in your body. Because if you sweep, the Bible tells us that we're to speak the truth in love. And when you sweep things under the rug, that's where it stays. And it's going to come out somewhere. It'll come out in sickness in your body. God wants us to confront things in love. Now, one reason we can't is because our conscience isn't clear. Our own conscience is not clear. The Bible says when your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God, which means faith and trust in God, but it also means freedom of speech. If you don't have freedom of speech, then there's an area of your life your conscience is not clear. And so I know I realized this when I was pastor of a church. There'd be some church members, I could just tell them how it was. You need to straighten up. You need to do this. But there'd be others that'd be like, I feel and say, okay, Lord, what is that? Why am I hindered? Why do I not have freedom of speech with that person? He will never leave you, fail you, or forsake you. He'll not leave you as an orphan, but he'll come to you. He has a plan for your life. Oh, how encouraging that is to know that God knows the plans he has for you. They're for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I remember when my heart was so broken. I was so brokenhearted because I had just found my husband standing in the front yard of his girlfriend holding her six-month-old baby. And I cried and I cried and I cried. How could he hold this little baby of somebody else's and leave two at home? And I was in church, and I was crying, and tears were just splashing down on my Bible. You know, when I'm happy, you know it, and when I'm sad, you know it. I don't hide it. If I'm sad, you're going to know it. I was just crying, and tears were just pouring out of my eyes, and this lady reached over and opened my Bible to Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, I know the plans I have for you. They're for good and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. God, you know, God, do you mean that you have a plan in the midst of this mess? You have a plan in the midst of all of this. And, you know, I would cry out to God, I want my home restored. I even was in a 9-hour divorce case, which should have lasted 15 minutes. My daddy's lawyer, thank God my daddy paid for him, because I didn't have any money. But my daddy's lawyer would contest everything he said. He would object to everything he said. 9 hours. In that trial, because I didn't want my kids to
I wanted my kids to know that I had fought the divorce. I wanted them to know that I didn't want it. And I don't know why I say that. Oh, and I was crying out to the Lord. I remember it was Thanksgiving time, and I was laying in front of the fireplace crying. And I said, Lord, you said I delight in you, and I know I've made a lot of mistakes, but I have delighted in you. You said I'd have the desires of my heart. And the Lord said, Jerry, and I used to say, Lord, you're all I want, you're all I want. He said, Jerry, am I really all you want? I said, yes, Lord, but I want my husband back. I want my home back. Anyway, I said, well, Lord, kill me. If you're not going to kill me, kill him, because I don't want to be a divorcee. Merle, you understand the pain of all that, don't you? Oh, that's the most painful thing I've ever... That's really the only broken heart I ever had. But it was heartbreaking. God has a plan. No matter what you're going through, if you stay yielded to him, you will not miss him. And I love this one. He's the good shepherd. He makes you to lie down in green pastures, place of plenty. He leads you beside still waters in this world where it's like a hellhole. This world with all the stuff that's going on, he leads you beside quiet, peaceful waters. And you can't find peace watching TV, I'm telling you. And he prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment, he condemns. And when we don't comprehend who we are in Christ, the world doesn't realize that he is our King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But the more we comprehend who we are in Christ, the greater our self-worth is, greater is our ability to claim God's provisions and his promises. Satan wants to rob us of the potential we have in Christ. The Bible says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If you're not living the abundant life, something's amiss. And if the only way we can thwart his efforts is to get in God's word and to understand who we are in Christ and understand the promises we have in Christ. We need to ask him for wisdom to show us, give us revelation, and help us to understand the promises and the inheritance that we have as kings and priests and children of God. If your mouth's like mine, our mouth has been our undoing. Is that right? You know, the children of Israel, they said we can't, and their destiny was settled by the words they spoke. Joshua and Caleb said we can. You know, their protection's been removed. God's on our side. We can win the battle. But they said we can't, and so they settled their destiny by the words of their mouth. By the words of our mouth, the Bible says that the tongue sets on fire the course of our life. You have what you say, Jesus said. What you say comes out of your mouth. What comes out of your mouth comes out of the heart. So in order to get our saying correct, we've got to get our heart right. The more you get your heart purified, the more pure your words are. Because if the tongue sets on fire the course of our lives, and death and life are the power of the tongue, we can't, and it says that nobody can tame the tongue. Because it's like a rudder. We're likened to a ship, and our tongue is the rudder. And the rudder guides the ship. And so we can't change our words until we get our heart changed. You can't tame the tongue, but you can get the heart pure so the tongue will be tamed. So the tongue will speak what's in the heart. And our thought life too. And so the children of Israel, their mouth was their undoing, just like our mouth has been our undoing. Jesus said we have what we say. If we don't doubt in our heart but believe what we say, we'll have it. So we need to start saying what God's word says instead of what we see or what we think. We need to start speaking God's word. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. David's already read that. You know, Caleb, there's a scripture about Caleb. Maybe someone knows where it is, where he was recounting how old he was. Do you know, Carla, does anybody know where that scripture is? My son shared that in church the other day, but he was saying that even at his age, he was in full strength to battle the enemy. And all through the Bible, when you look, do you know where it is? Joshua. If anybody finds that, we'll holler and we'll read it. But I tried to find it and couldn't. But when I was looking up the word Caleb, it says that he, all through the Bible, Caleb followed God fully. And he entered the promised land. And that's how we enter the promised land, which is God's rest. We enter God's rest through following God fully, through submitting our life to his lordship. And so we enter God's rest when we do that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, we're to follow Christ's example. He never murmured and complained. And I tell you, I was catching something. Yesterday I said all I did was murmur and complain when we had a flat. And I've repented today, and Carla prayed for me, and David's prayed for me, and I'm better already. You know, sin's behind sickness. If you get sick, you need to ask God why. First, you need to call the elders of the church and let them anoint you with oil. And then if you don't get healed, then you need to start looking for the reason. And we've been called to follow Christ's example. It says he suffered, and we're to follow his example. He never murmured. He never complained. We're to follow in his steps. Here are at least four things that cause us to be defeated. It's not failing to align ourselves with the Word of God, living by what we see, confessing what we see, unbelief, murmuring, complaining. That's more than four things, isn't it? confessing what we see. And the promises of God are to the overcomer. In James it says, for we all stumble in many ways. If a man does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body as well. I've got some things in my body I need to bridle. So our words are negative words. You know, when we speak negative, when we speak anything contrary to God's word, we can speak victory or defeat. We can still speak sickness or health. We can speak faith or fear. We can speak negativity, or we can speak positive and say what God said. I'm going to read some scriptures on the overcoming life. Well, let me read Mark. Mark 11:23 says, I tell you, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. If we have faith as a grain of mustard seed. The scripture says, without sanctification, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. The Bible tells us we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. The way we do it is God uses the problem to show us what's next he wants to deliver us from. He uses the problem to show us where he wants to line us up with the Word again. He uses the problem to show us ourselves. He uses the problem to realign us with the Word of God. And Revelation 12 tells us how to overcome. We overcome by the blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony, and we leave that the rest of that off, which is as though we love not our life even to death. So we've got to be willing to give up our life that we might find it. We hold on to our life. The Bible says we'll lose it. Psalm says, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and whoever orders his conversation aright, I'll show him my salvation. So we need to order our conversation aright. We can't order our conversation aright until we got our heart right. Because our conversation is coming out of our mouth, and it comes from an unresolved issue of the heart. Things that come on generationally, things that come on us through our sin, things that come on us through what other people do to us where we haven't forgiven them. And all of that's our treasure that's stored down in our heart. A man out of his good treasure brings forth good. A man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. So it's the evil treasure that's been stored down in our heart, stored down there through the generational iniquities of the forefathers, through our sin, through the sins committed against us. 1 John 5:4 says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:5 says, he who overcomes the world, who is he that overcomes the world, but he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Revelation 2:7 says, to him who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And then Revelation 2:11 says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. In other words, when you die, when you leave this physical body, you're not going to be hurt by it. Revelation 2:17 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. to him who overcomes, I will give him some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name, which is on the stone, which no man knows except the one who receives it. And that has to do with, I think if they gave you a black stone, it had to do with guilty, but a white stone had to do with being acquitted. Revelation 2:6 says, he who overcomes is he who keeps my deeds until the end. I will give to him the authority over the nations. Do we need authority over the nations right now? I tell you, the nations are coming against us. They're moving in on us. Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, but I'll confess him before my Father and his angels. Revelation 3:12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will go out from it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God, and a new name. Revelation 3:2, he who overcomes, I will grant to sit down with me on my throne, as I overcame and sat down on my throne, on my Father, with my Father on his throne. Revelation 21:7, he who overcomes, I will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. So you see, the promises of God are to the overcomer. We all have things to overcome. We're all a work in progress. Nobody's better than anybody else. God loves all of our colors. He loves all of our sizes, unless we're gluttons, and he don't like that. But he loves the way he made us. And he's done all of this at Calvary that we can overcome. We just have to go take the land. We have to keep on keeping on. And here's a warning. First Corinthians 10:1 says, For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, speaking to Christians, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses, into the cloud, in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and drank from the same spiritual rock, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. See, God doesn't want us to be laid low in the wilderness. The wilderness is your circumstances. We all have circumstances. He don't want us to be laid low in it. He wants us to learn from what we're going through. Everything that God allows in your life is to teach you something. And the quicker you learn it, the quicker you'll walk in victory in that area. Otherwise, you'll be like the children of Israel, keep on going around the mountain. Same old thing. I don't want to go around the mountain. One time's enough. It says, for these things, nevertheless, God was not well pleased with most of them. They were laid low in the wilderness. Now, these things happened to them for us, brethren, that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. Now, idolatry is loving anything more than you love Jesus. Anything you can't, you think you can't live without. Anything that you allow to control you. Anything you love more than Jesus. It says, do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor act sexually immoral as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor try the Lord as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. And see, yesterday, as I was murmuring and complaining, I almost came down with a cold today, and I repented and it's leaving now. I mean, I didn't get it, but I felt it. Now, these things happened to them, brethren, as an example, and they were written for our instruction, for whom the ends of the earth have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. So God doesn't want us to follow the example of the children of Israel. He wants us to overcome, take the land, possess the land. And then when you step into heaven, you don't have to overcome anymore. Amen? I heard Joyce Meyer say that God wants you to overcome. And then when it's time to go to heaven, he just snatches you into perfection. So stand up and ask the Lord to show you, or do you have fear of man? Do you have a grasshopper spirit, a spirit of fear? Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to search my heart, test my thoughts. Lord, I ask you to let me know the truth that sets me free. Do I have a grasshopper spirit? Do I live in fear? Am I overcoming or am I overcome? Lord, I want to be lifted out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and I want you to set my feet on a rock in Jesus' name. So I ask for the truth that sets me free, and then just repent of whatever the Lord shows you, and then sit down and we'll do group deliverance. Father, I ask you to forgive me for fear. You have not given me a spirit of fear, but love and power and a sound mind. Lord, forgive me for seeing myself as a grasshopper and the circumstances of life and the giants in my circumstances seeing me like a grasshopper. God, forgive me for being overcome instead of being an overcomer. God, forgive me for not coming into your rest. That there's been no resting place for the sole of my foot. Trilling heart, failing eyes, and despair of soul. I ask you to break that curse off me, because Lord, I come under your yoke, which is light and easy, and I'll find rest for my soul. I take your yoke on my neck. Lift your hands and receive God's yoke. I take your yoke on my neck. I come under your control. Thank you that you're going to bring me in rest, and I break disobedience to the voice of God and his commandments. I break that curse of unrest in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Trembling eyes, failing of heart, blindness, leave our eyes in the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for confessing what I see instead of what your word says. Forgive me for confusing facts with the truth. Forgive me for living in fear and timidity, being a coward, fear of man. I forgive my mother and father for controlling me and for their anger and their rage and their meanness. I forgive them that I was afraid of them. And I break that generational curse off those who had a mother and daddy who were not mean, who had good moms and dads. I break every curse in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I break off the yokes of mother, of daddy. Every yoke that's not the yoke of Jesus. Lord, forgive me for seeing myself as worthless. Forgive me for wanting to give up and quit and bail out. Forgive me for passivity. Forgive me for being an Ahab, having an Ahab spirit. Forgive me for not dealing with unresolved issues. Forgive me for living in a state of unrest. Lord, I'm a king's kid and I've been living in poverty. I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. Thank you that I belong to you. Lord, if I've never been born again, and forgive me for not being willing to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you. If you are that person that believes in Jesus, but you've never had a heart transformation, Lord, pray with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, I invite your Holy Spirit to come into my life and transform me and make me an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me. I choose to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you, Lord. Forgive me for treating myself the way I was treated growing up, if that was negative. Thank you that I've been enriched in Christ. Thank you that I have fellowship with you. Thank you that I have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that I'm a co-laborer with you. Thank you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you that I'm the temple of God. Your Holy Spirit lives in me. Thank you that Christ in me is the hope of glory. Lord, thank you that I'm a member of Christ's body. I have fellowship with you. I'm an heir of Christ, a joint heir with Christ. I have spiritual gifts. Thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Thank you that you will not leave me as an orphan, but you come to me. Would you come to me now, Lord? Thank you that I always triumph in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. Thank you that I'm accepted in the Beloved. Thank you, Lord, that I've been forgiven for my sin. Lord, thank you and praise you that I've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places. Thank you that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You made him who knew no sin to be made sin for me. Thank you, Lord, that I've been given authority over the nations. Thank you, Lord, that I have authority to cast out devils and to cure diseases. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that no demon in hell can touch me or hurt me in the name of Jesus. Thank you that I'm your workmanship. Thank you that you created all my good works before I was even born. Thank you that you reconciled me to you. Thank you that I am a member of God's household. Lord, I praise you and bless you that I've been rooted and grounded in love. I thank you and praise you, Lord, that I'm complete in you. Thank you, Lord, that I'm more than a conqueror. Thank you, Lord, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I thank you and praise you. Forgive me for unbelief and doubt. Lord, thank you that you're my refuge, my strength. Thank you, Lord, that that your strength is made perfect in my weakness. And Lord, I confess that I'm weak and I can do it with, cannot do anything without you. Thank you that you're my refuge and my strength. Thank you that my enemy is not real people, but principalities and powers. Thank you that I have authority over Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. And thank you the battle's already been won at Calvary. Thank you that you've already spoiled principalities and powers. Thank you that you will not ever leave me or fail me or forsake me. Thank you that you are my precious Father. You are my Father. I thank you and praise you, Lord. I praise you for your goodness. I praise you for your mercy. I praise you, Lord. And I just bless you. And Lord, forgive me for murmuring and complaining and griping. Would you cleanse my heart? And remind me, Lord, when a negative word comes out of my mouth, where did it come from? So I can deal with it, get my heart pure, then the words will be pure. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for a clear conscience. I ask you, Lord, to remind me that when I go through a trial, that the giant's not too big, that the battle's already been won. Remind me, Lord, to ask you what you're trying to teach me through what I'm going through. In Jesus' name, bless you, Lord. Bless you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. I break the power, Lord, I break soul ties with my forefathers who fear man more than they feared you. I break soul ties with my forefathers who didn't possess their land, who did not overcome. I forgive my forefathers for not living an overcoming life. I forgive them for their perversion, their alcoholism, their criminal behavior, the Freemasonry. I forgive them for all the stuff they were involved in that had brought curses on my bloodline. Lord, I stand up in my bloodline and I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through the bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through this grasshopper spirit that's passed down generation. The spirit of fear, torment. I break the power of fear down torment, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, depression, despondency. I break the power of despair and hopelessness in Jesus' name. I break the power of a fainting spirit. I break the power of rebellion. I break the power of sexual immorality and pornography. I break the power of lust, concupiscence in Jesus' name, wanton spirit, lustful spirits. I break it in the name, power, blood, and authority of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I just bind them to an overcoming spirit in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. I loose on them an overcoming spirit. I loose on them love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Praise you, God. Just take a big breath and blow it out in Jesus' name. Every spirit of fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, every spirit we've named, grasshopper spirits, passivity, we break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel released, lift your hands and sing with me. If you're a man, you have to go in Jesus' name. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And Lord, I ask you to change my life. I pray that when I leave this camp, I'll never be the same. I want to tell you, those of you who are here the first time, if you come to all the camps and keep getting deliverance, if you're coming with problems, you won't even know who you are next year. And we see this happen. We've been on the prayer team for years and years, and we see people we pray for. It's not our prayers. It's the spirit and anointing of God that's here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a place, this is a safe place where you can spill your guts and nobody's going to judge you, because we've all been there and done that most of the time. So, amen. We'll bless you, Lord. We ask you to bless the food, purify it, sanctify it. We thank you that you bless our bread and water. You satisfy our mouth with good things. Lord, what an awesome God you are. Thank you for bountiful food here in America, for another day of all your blessings. Thank you for Merle and Barbara and Patty and Kevin and Linda and Sandy and Rick and Dan. Lord, we thank you for all the workers here at this camp that tirelessly pour out their life, Patty and Kevin. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for all the workers here. Thank you for Jane and Benny, Lord, and all the people that help at this camp. And I want to say this. If you don't have a church and you don't have a place to tithe, God wants you to tithe and give to Lake Hamilton. It's good place to plant seed. Amen? God bless you. Love you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.